Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
The teens today suffer from peer pressure and academic expectations and their changing bodies, and all of these things can bring a lot of ups and downs. But we're seeing more and more teens with real clinical depression, and doctors are putting them on various medications, and we're going to learn about those medications today. My guest is Dr. Linda Reed-Chasiakos. She's a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics and a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at David Geffen School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Reed. So medications, there are a lot of them on the market. Antidepressant medications, parents tend to be afraid. They think they're going to, quote, zombie out their children. So tell us about the medications, Prozac and Zoloft and Paxil and all of these things that are available today. And what are they doing to our teens? Are they helping? Are there side effects we need to be concerned with? Tell us about them.
I think that parents are very afraid. Certainly the first approach that pediatricians, primary care physicians, and psychiatrists take in treating depression is to look at non-medication therapies such as interpersonal psychotherapy and cognitive behavioral psychotherapy. However, for many adolescents, it is critically important to consider the use of medications such as the ones that you mentioned. And in fact, research has shown that the combination of using antidepressants, usually in the SSRI family, like the ones that you mentioned, can actually reduce the symptoms of depression and result in healthier outcomes. This is also true if they're combined with cognitive behavioral psychotherapy. That's probably the most successful approach. So is it going to make my teenager, as you said, is it going to make a difference in how he or she is responding to the world and learning and being able to relate and even about the worry about suicide risk? The good news is that research has shown that only a very, very small percentage of teenagers that go on these medications have an increase. It's as little as 4%, an increase in suicidal thoughts. And we have actually seen through the research that students, that teenagers that go on these medications in areas where you see a higher rates of prescription of these medications have lower rates of actively completed suicide. In other words, these medications actually help teenagers and keep them from actually becoming so depressed that they want to end their lives.
So how do we find the right medication for our children? Managing medications and finding the right one would seem to be a bit of a confusing world. So, you know, how do you find the right one? Does the doctor recommend these SSRIs and you try them and you ask your teen if they're suffering any of these side effects, or does suggesting the side effects make your teen think that they've got them? How does it all work?
Suggesting the side effects does not make the teenager think that, but it is important to understand what potential side effects may happen with particular medications. At this point, the only medication that's approved by the FDA officially for treating depression in children ages 8 and older is Prozac. However, psychiatrists, child psychiatrists, and primary care physicians, including pediatricians, will often use on an off-label basis other types of SSRIs because they do improve the brain chemistry by increasing levels of serotonin. And then there are some other types of medications that are very similar, such as SNRIs, which increase norepinephrine, and then others that increase dopamine, all of which help fight off depression. Once the decision is made to start someone on one of these medicines, then it's important to know what side effects, such as irritability, changes in behavior and mood, these tend to happen usually in the first few weeks of starting the medication. And so the doctor will advise parents and teenagers what to look out for, and that if any of these signs develop, then it's important to come in. And maybe the dose needs to be readjusted, or maybe a different medication needs to be tried. But if those first weeks go well, and in 96% of teenagers, they do, over the first few weeks, you'll actually start to see an improvement, and the risk of any potential negative reaction tends to decrease, and so folks can feel a little bit more relaxed. But it is important to be vigilant. Some of the thoughts are that if someone is very, very, very depressed, they're not able to take the steps necessary to harm themselves. So that once they start taking medication, there is a brief period of time before they feel significantly better, where they have a little bit more initiative. And that's the dangerous period. But the recommendations are for very close follow-up. This could be face-to-face or it could be by telephone to see how a young person is doing. And if they're doing well, then I think both parents and teenagers can relax.
Now, do antidepressants need to be taken at the same time every day? Do teens manage them themselves? Is there an overdose risk?
These medications generally don't tend to have the potential. Other medications tend to have a kind of a rewarding function so that it might stimulate someone perhaps to take more and more. These medications don't seem to have that kind of function. We don't really hear a lot about overdose risk. Overdosing can cause symptoms of what's called serotonin syndrome, so we definitely don't want to see that happening. But generally, teenagers don't tend to spontaneously take more of these medications because they don't give an instant reward or an instant high. It's a slow recovery process. It depends on the teenager. If the teenager is responsible and capable, perhaps a little bit of over-the-shoulder monitoring by a parent to make sure that the medications are taken regularly and at the same time each day is fine. If the teenager is severely affected by depression or not at a level of responsibility where they can manage this, then parental involvement can be very helpful because you do need to take these every day and you need to take them at the same time and you need to not stop them if you're starting to feel better because then you can experience some withdrawal symptoms that can include flu-like syndromes and muscle spasms. So these are obviously side effects that we don't want to see. If the decision is made to stop the medications, that should be done under a physician's supervision, and they're usually tapered off slowly so that there's not a withdrawal syndrome that's noted.
I think that's a very important point that you make, Dr. Reed, because quitting suddenly can maybe cause a sudden worsening of depression and withdrawal, as you said, so it should definitely be something that is done with the doctor. And if they're feeling better, then they think to themselves, okay, I don't need to be on this anymore. And so that might be a bit of a cycle. In the last minute, please wrap it up for us about teens and depression medication, the most important information you feel that parents should know.
Do not be afraid to talk to your doctor about medication therapy. We find that teenagers who are treated appropriately with antidepressant medication do not become addicted. They're less likely to use drugs and substances, and they're much more likely to be healthier and have a reduced suicide risk if they're managed and monitored properly and treated appropriately.
That's a fantastic way to wrap it all up for us. And so parents, don't be afraid of these antidepressant medications. Speak with your doctor about them. If your teen is depressed, do something because there are behavioral therapies and medications, things that you can do to help your teen. It's a very tumultuous time in their lives. Their brains are going in all sorts of directions. So it's something that you want to monitor. Help your teen, give them a little autonomy with their meds. Explain to them about the side effects so that you know if they experience any of them so that you can keep in touch with your doctor that way. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer site, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.